Ladies and gentlemen, it is now 4 o'clock. We'd like to start on time on this commission. My name is Catherine Kostelnik, and I'm the chair. And that's fine. I'm going to ask the commission members to introduce themselves.
Randy Tate, I'm the chair of the Park and Tree Commission and therefore have a seat here too.
Kim Campbell.
Eileen Baker.
Austin Rojas, vice chair.
Thank you all for coming. We have a, do we have the meeting minutes?
We'll have those included on the December agenda.
Okay, thank you. I'm trying to remember what we did at the last meeting, frankly. Okay, the first item on our agenda is the petition of the Dr. Otis S. Johnson Cultural Arts Center at 207 Montgomery Street, an interpretive marker. Jody?
Thank you. Jody Brown, principal planner. I didn't get to write this, so bear with me while I fumble through it. But this is a freestanding marker proposed to give the history of the area where the Otis S. Johnson Cultural Arts Center was located, PhD Cultural Arts Center was located. It was originally set up as a house, and what is being, what's left of the house is the little lane building. This is a photo of the little lane building, and the star right there is where they're proposing to put the marker, and that marker is in the public right of way. So here's a little map so you can get a better feel for it. As you scroll down, this is the proposed signage. It gives a history of the building, when it was originally constructed and the design of the building. And then it provides information on what became of the building. It was a female orphanage. And they actually have some historic photos of the female orphanage of them playing in the playground in the backyard, that shows the lane building. And then it speaks to the material and it has some sandboard maps. This is an aluminum composite graphic. It's powder coated, et cetera. So it's pretty standard, marker that you can use. And then as you scroll down, you'll see the text that they're proposing to use, as you scroll down further, there is a close-up of the proposed verbiage and photos that they're going to have on there. They even speak to the ironwork that was removed from there and reused in other locations. Staff finds that the proposed project is consistent. And I'm happy to answer any questions.
Do any commission members have questions for Jody?
Yes, this is Randy. Who writes the markers?
So, I'm sorry, sir. Say that again.
Who writes the markers?
It could be the applicant that writes the markers. Typically, staff reviews them. Staff, Kelly would have reviewed this, for language. I believe Luciana, the Ark City Archivist, reviews also.
Other questions for Jody?
Yeah, Austin Rojas just had a question about the, like, the which direction it's going to be facing. Just wondering, like, will it fade over time in the sun? And does that aluminum coating, how does that, like, stand up?
You know, with my experience, when I've seen these several years old in Arizona sun, they tend to last pretty well. It takes a really long time for them to bite the dust, in my opinion, from ones that I've seen. So I think that that shouldn't be an issue. And then as to how it will orient, I assume it will orient towards the sidewalk. Sorry.
Lieutenant Spraker with the Archives and History Officer for the City of Savannah. I also have CJ Bogle here from the Cultural Resources Department who prepared the marker application, and I also gave them support and reviewed it. You asked a question about weathering of the marker. This style of marker does weather with sunlight, so it is anticipated that after a certain number of years, you might be familiar, we're going through a process with Georgia DOT to replace the markers down on River Street. It's just sort of the nature of this type of marker. The way you're looking at the building now, that is the orientation of when you walk up to the building that you'll be looking at the marker. It'll kind of be at an angle. So it sort of faces the front of the marker sort of faces, if you're looking at the building, this is looking at the building kind of from the corner of Oglethorpe and Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. So I think what is really important about this building, this structure, and why this marker is so important, this is the last extant structure in all of Elbert Ward from the 19th century. So while the marker tells the story of the Wetter House and the lot, it signifies both the history of the whole ward, it signifies the use of lane buildings and that structure in the lane, because unfortunately the lane is closed at this section of the street or in the ward. So this building symbolizes a lot of the history of this ward that has, you know, changed significantly with the automobile and with public construction with the Civic Center and Montgomery Street and Interstate 16 coming in. So people have fought a lot to save this building over the decades, and it's important for us to recognize it. And I'm happy to answer any questions about the content of the marker or the style of the marker.
Lieutenant Eileen Baker, I had a question. I think it's fabulous, especially since this really shows reuse of materials with the ironwork, that instead of it just being scrapped, it was moved to another area, which is, we all should learn from that. But one question is, in your examples of that ironwork, I'm curious to why you didn't use the, isn't the railing around the lion from that same building?
Yeah, so the Cotton Exchange Red Lion Fountain has examples of it.
Will that be on there? I'm sorry.
I'm not sure. Let me go. So CJ in Cultural Affairs staff actually wrote the text, so my memory doesn't remember.
Kim Campbell, I believe the reference to the lions is in there as well as the reference on Whitaker.
There it is. Are you looking at what I'm looking at? Lion Fountain in front of the Cotton Exchange, as well as the building on Whitaker McDonough Street. Yeah.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the text talks about both the Wetter House, its use as a residential, and then it's changing to the Savannah Female Orphan Asylum, then what happened to the property after it was torn down, and as best as we can date the Lane building, so trying to kind of give sort of the history of that building or that property.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Any other questions, Luciana?
Thank you.
Thank you, Luciana. So staff recommendation.
Yes. Oh, sorry. Staff recommends that the Savannah Historic Site Monument Commission recommend approval to the Savannah City Council for historical marker at the Otis S. Johnson Cultural Arts Center at 201 Montgomery Street as requested.
Thank you. Anyone else present have comment? Is there anyone online?
No, ma'am.
Okay. Thank you so much for presenting that information to us. I did not know a lot about that, so I found it very interesting when we got this proposal. Do I have a motion from anyone on the commission?
Kim Campbell, before we make a motion, is Luciano representing the petitioner, or do we need to hear from the petitioner just for point of order purposes? Okay. So just stating for the record, this is Kim Campbell, that we did hear from the petitioner on this.
Okay. Thank you, Kim.
Austin Rojas, I make a motion to approve as requested.
Do I have a second?
Eileen, second. Second.
All in favor, say aye.
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 Any Austin, opposed? Aye.
No opposed. Thank you. Motion carries. Okay, we have another proposal today, which is also quite interesting. That's one of the pleasures of serving on this commission, is we learn so much about our community here that some of us may or may not know about. Okay, Caitlin.
All right, thank you. This is Caitlin Chamberlain presenting this petition. The applicant's requesting approval to install a 12-inch by 24-inch bronze plaque on the site of the home of Mordecai Schefthal, presently located at 122 West Broughton Street. The proposed marker would be embedded in the brick on the sidewalk outside of the Crest Building, presently the Gap. So just to kind of give you that location. And then just let me zoom out a little on this. Just to kind of show roughly around the area. So it's along the brick sidewalk, and it's kind of a minimally invasive, just taking out some brick to install the plaque. As the applicant stated, the proposed plaque is planned to be ready to coincide with the 250th celebration of the signing of the Declaration of Independence, which will be honored by the City of Savannah, Georgia Historical Society, and Congregation Mikveh Israel. The Schefthal House itself no longer exists, but there is documentation of its location. So that's why it's not being proposed to be on a building, because it wasn't actually that building. So just going along with what we evaluate, one thing is the themes. So the themes for this include local history, colonial history, cultural and ethnic history, military history, and religious history. As the applicant noted, Mordecai Schefthal was known as the great rebel, patriot, landowner, and more importantly, chairman of the parochial committee of Christ Church Parish, with parish being the operative word omitted, the de facto government for Georgia between being a royal colony and achieving statehood. As a colonel in the Continental Forces, he was also the highest ranking Jewish officer, and with his own funds provided military supplies, clothing, and food for the rebel cause. There's also at least one recorded event of Schefthal using a room in his home for worship on the eve of the Day of Atonement in 1774. In 1773, he conveyed some of his nearby land to allow for the burial of a Jewish man from elsewhere who died in Savannah and could not be interred in the Levi Schefthal Cemetery on Cohen Street because it was restricted by its trust agreement to Schefthal family members. So this land was conveyed to a trust he established for the burial of anyone in the Jewish faith, and the trust continues to own that cemetery to this day. So just going through the criteria, I won't go through every single one in the report, but just highlight some of that. This plaque is intended to be a marker where the house was located on Broughton Street, so it is site-specific. In terms of evaluating the sites and the installation, the plaque would be embedded in the sidewalk where there is nothing else like this in the immediate vicinity and thus would not overcrowd the site. There are no trees in the area where the plaque is proposed to be installed where roots would be disturbed. And then it would be minimally invasive where a few sidewalk bricks would be removed to allow space for the plaque. The site in relation to the theme, based on historic records, the Schefthal House was in the location where the Gap Building currently sits, and this is where it's proposed to go. It would be as close proximity to the home where it was located and where it can be recognized with the plaque. The applicant's working with Noble Bronze, a forge based out of Arlington, Virginia, which has fabricated many such plaques for the city. The Noble Bronze Foundry will create the marker out of iron and bronze, which are standard and durable materials for the markers. And we are in the fortunate situation that we have some descendants here today, so I will let them speak more to their ancestor, but just wanted to go ahead and say the staff recommendation is recommending HSMC recommends approval to the Savannah City Council for the installation of the commemorative plaque of the Sheftel House located in the vicinity of 122 West Broughton Street as requested, because the proposed work meets the standards within the master plan and guidelines for markers, monuments, and public art. Thank you.
Do any commission members have questions for staff?
Kim Campbell. Caitlin, do we know the height of the text on the marker?
I don't believe. Let me see. Let's check. Go back to. Or we can check with the, we can, I'll defer to the applicant for that.
Thank you.
They have it.
Any other questions for Caitlin?
Yes, Randy Tate here. There was some smaller print about the potential for changing. Something would change in the wording. They're down toward the bottom. Go down, way down.
I'm not sure what your question is.
I need to read the text.
Oh, the text.
The recommendation, if you could call up the recommendation.
Oh, sure.
It's a note there, this recommendation could change subject to new information provided.
So that's just our, basically what that's saying is that the ordinance allows for information that could be presented from the applicant that may not be in there that could change the decision. And normally that's if something's recommended for continuance or denial and the petitioner presents some other items that maybe we didn't have at the time the report was written. But that's just kind of a disclaimer saying that could happen, you know, potentially.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Any other questions for staff? Who would like to speak for the petitioner? Just come up to the microphone and state your name, please.
I'm Joan Levy, and Colonel Morky Sheftel was my seventh great-grandfather. I think he was a very important figure in the American Revolution and the establishment of religious freedom here in Savannah, well, in the States to begin with. I think there was a question about how the height of the plaque, it's intended to be set flush with the sidewalk and hopefully erected by the city park and tree commission or whoever handles the sidewalk. I just think it's a gentleman that has not been recognized in our local history, at least to someone coming from somewhere else that would not know the history. What you see before you is an image of the royal
crown.
Where the plot of this is actually from the original, the plot from the crown to Benjamin Sheftel, who was Mordecai Sheftel's father.
And what year was that?
The early 1700s.
What year was the crown grant?
I'm sorry, I didn't understand.
1756.
Wow. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Anybody else would like to speak about this proposal? Just state your name.
Yeah, I'm B.H. Levy Jr. I'm Joan's brother. Mordecai Sheftel was our grandfather six generations back. This crown grant that was to Mordecai's father, Benjamin, it was from King George III, and it stayed in the family, I think until the early 20th century, and passed down from generation to generation, and wasn't finally sold until the early 20th century. I don't want to prolong this. If you have any questions, I'll be happy to try to answer. Thank you.
Do any of the commission members have questions for the petitioner, sir?
Kim Campbell, I still have the question about the height of the actual text, not the marker itself. So how big is the actual font, if you know? I notice it's larger, obviously, for the name, kind of the title, if you will, and then the rest of it.
I can't tell you the exact measurement, but it's a small one.
What's the dimension of the font itself?
Oh, the dimension of the font is 12 by 24. It's not very large.
But if you look at the image of the plaque, I think you can gauge.
Yeah. She's just questioning how big the letters are going to be on the plaque. Are they an inch, 2 inches, something like that?
It's about double the size.
Yeah, please. Thank you.
It's about double the size of what you see here. Because the whole plaque will be just
12 by 24.
It's not going to be that large. It's rather modest.
Thank you.
Other questions for the petitioner from commission members? Thank you. Is there anyone online?
No.
Is there anyone else in the room want to speak concerning this petition? Okay, thank you. Question?
Not exact. Austin speaking. Not exactly a question. Just, I guess, maybe a little bit of a question of, you know, I know that there's costs involved in having to put the plaque in. My hope is that people seeing this will, you know, pull out their phones and look up who this person was to get more information. It's just for me, I almost wish that there was just a little bit. You mentioned the word modest, and it feels like Jewish Revolutionary War patriot is a very modest way of putting it. So just wondering if there were maybe other things. I know you have such a small space to try and capture somebody who was this important, but just wondering if there was any thought on, I don't know, something maybe at the highest ranking official.
You
know. Oh, yeah, sorry. I'll talk more into the mic, but it is quite modest in that it characterizes him as Jewish Revolutionary War patriot, and just with everything that was brought in on this presentation and by staff and all that you had assembled and brought before us, just is there any other way to capture that maybe can push people to look at this and say that this is somebody you absolutely should look into more when you see this plaque?
Well, we could go unlimited inside.
Okay. Are you thinking bigger, or you mean changing the wording?
Right, like if there was wording that could be used in that space.
Please step up to the microphone.
Say your name.
Thank you for the question. Please. My name is Bruce Cohen, and I'm co-chair of the Mikveh Israel History and Heritage Committee. And we're planning of expanding our work to highlight not only Mordechai Schechtel, but the contributions that Savannah Jews have made, not only to the revolution, but to our city as well. We're planning on developing walking tours of Jewish sites that will certainly include this new item, as well as a variety of other programs for all Savannah residents and for visitors to our city. So I hope we'll your idea of expanding the understanding of the impact of our Jewish forebears here will be well served. Thank you.
Thank you very much for that clarification. K-
Kim Campbell. I would just recommend that we add a condition to this for staff to verify the size of the text and just make sure that it's legible and meets the guidelines. I believe that beyond the title, it's supposed to be between a half inch and an inch, but I'm happy for that just to go back to staff and for them to look that over and then have it go to city council. So that would just be on the proof itself, likely, when they send that to y'all. It would have the actual size, and then you just send a copy to Caitlin, and she can verify that and send it on.
And just for everybody's, just so we're all on the same page, saying that that way it doesn't have to come before back. Us again, correct?
Correct. Kim Campbell, just there's no reason for us to see that. It's in the guidelines. We are just empowering staff to do that in lieu of us, because otherwise it meets their recommendation. So I'll just add that condition when we go to make this motion.
Well, then we will entertain a motion with that condition in it.
Kim Campbell, I motion to approve the application with the condition that staff verify the height of the text meets the guidelines.
Do I have a second?
Randy Tate seconds.
Any discussion? All in favor, say aye.
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 Austin, aye.
Motion passes. Thank you very much. We really appreciate y'all coming in and telling us about your ancestor and how important he really is to the Savannah community, particularly those of us that grew up in Savannah and have long histories here with ancestors. Sometimes that stuff gets lost with the influx of tourists and new people into the community, and it's nice to look back on that, and it's quite astounding that the king gave him a grant, being that originally Jews were not even allowed to live in the colony of Georgia. So that's quite astounding to me. That's just on a personal level. And thank you for bringing that story to us.
May I address that?
Sure.
Actually, the Royal Charter of Georgia that was issued by George II in 1732, and I think Oglethorpe had a hand in that, it guaranteed religious freedom to all except papists, Catholics. So Jews were protected.
That's good to know.
Now, when the Jews arrived in July of 1733, 5 months after Oglethorpe landed in February, they took Oglethorpe by complete surprise. He was, no one emailed him to expect this boatload of Jews, 41 Jews. And he initially was undecided, apparently, what to do with them.
But occurred.
In the end, because they were not prohibited, perhaps, because they were not prohibited by the Royal Charter, he did admit them.
Thank you.
And the Jews were given a town lot and a farm lot, in the same way that the original settlers were given town lots and farm lots
well, thank you
February.
For clarifying that for me. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
If I may add to that just a little bit, apparently because there were no lawyers in Georgia, he sent a message to Charleston to lawyers there to see if the charter, since it only excluded Catholics, would allow him to let the Jewish settlers here. And so he had to run it by, he ran it by Charleston. That's how, by
Charleston ran it by lawyers. The Charleston lawyers. Good to know. Okay. Do we have any petitions for the month of December?
We do. So we will have a meeting.
So we'll have.
Is it December 3rd?
So we'll have October and November's minutes to
appear. Yep. We'll have both on that agenda.
Okay.
December 4th.
December 4th.
Yeah, so it'll be December 4th. We're going to be on for that meeting. And let me get back to the agenda.
So any other business today?
So we do have one item, which is to appoint a three-person nominating committee for chair, vice chair, and secretary. And we looked up the bylaws earlier, and anybody can serve like three consecutive terms, but then that's it. So if I think everybody's in the clear, if
people are just interested in staying or if you want to open it up. But if you just want to appoint, you could be one of them or you can just appoint three. And then when we come back for December, we'll have you vote. And then we'll have your board.
So currently the officers are myself as chair, Austin is vice chair, and Eileen is secretary.
Yes.
Is there any opposition to just leaving it that way? No opposition.
Okay.
So
in December, if you want to vote on that.
We'll vote on that okay. In December that we maintain our current slate of officers for the next year.
Okay.
And then we will shift because that'll be my third.
All right.
And this is Randy Tate. Just for everyone's information, it will be I'm in my third year term for the Park and Tree Department. So next year will be my ninth year, and I will be off. So,
okay. Well, thank you for letting us know
that. You'll get a new chair.
Thank you.
Anything else? All right. If not, meeting's adjourned. It lasted a half an hour today.
All right. Thank you all.